about something bigger than just surviving.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
Hello and welcome to the opening night of the galaxy's most exclusive bar, the Heroes Cantina. I'm your host, Millicent.
And I'm your host, Alani.
And here we relax with a drink and catch up on the month of Star Wars news, more widely what we've been up to, reading, watching, playing, anything, and also have an existential crisis over WandaVision. So how are you doing, Alani, and what are we drinking tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm drinking a smoothie. It's about 2 p.m. my time, so I didn't feel like I wanted to bust the wine out just yet. So yeah, I'm drinking this smoothie before it goes bad in my fridge. How about you?
We love a health queen. Well, it's nearly 8 p.m. my time, so you would think I might be on the bevs, but I've actually got a cup of tea because I've got to live up to my English stereotype as the British host. So I've got a classic Yorkshire tea with oat milk, had a couple of bourbon biscuits, feeling good.
That sounds heavenly. It sounds very nice. I just finished season 5 of Love Island.
Oh my god.
Practicing my British accent.
Please, can you do your British accent for the listeners, because please tell me you've been mugged off or something.
Oh my god, when Molly May was just like, does it look like I've got mugs written across my forehead?
Oh my goodness. The worst part is Molly May is from around my end, so she's from Manchester where I'm from. So me and her have the same dialect, and hearing you say it's too good. It's too good. Honestly,
with Ellie Belly and like, oh my goodness, they're so cute. Her and Tommy.
Apologies to anyone who has not seen Love Island. You are truly missing out on some fantastic television.
Yep.
But you've been binging it, haven't
mugged
you?
Mugged off is now in my vernacular. It's my favorite thing. That is my favorite line to say, even if someone's not mugging me off. It's just fantastic. Yeah, my favorite season. I've been told I need to watch season 2. That's on my list. But yes. So when you say Yorkshire, I can't even say it the way that you say it.
Yorkshire.
You know what? I'm just gonna stop. But I love it, and I love that you're drinking that type of tea.
Thank you so much.
Anyway,
so I figure we should start this episode. Obviously, it's a bit long news now by the time it's come out, but I would just like to give a toast with our delicious beverages to the fact that Gina Carano has been fired from The Mandalorian. Should we toast to that? Wait, let me try and get another cup and just do a little... That was a plastic water bottle, so the clink sounded awful, but...
I know, I don't have any glass.
Imagine that was a beautiful clink into the microphone. Cheers to that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to dwell on that too much, but we did just want to, you know, show our support that we're very happy she's gone, and we don't tolerate any kind of her attitudes or views in the space that Heroes of the Galaxy occupies. So big love to everyone who ever felt hurt by her involvement in Star Wars, and very happy she's gone.
Here.
I didn't even mean to do that. That was a total accident.
It's okay. I did your accent.
We're just going to morph into each other's accents throughout this episode now, aren't we? Oh, goodness me.
My next episode, we'll be doing each other's accents.
I'll be American. Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So the way the cantina is going to work, this is the first episode of the cantina, so forgive us if, you know, we're kind of figuring out the structure and how it's going to go. We just want to kind of run through some fun bits in the Star Wars community, any news or fun things we've seen, and then, you know, talk about what we've been up to, what media we've been consuming, and we are probably going to dedicate a big portion of this to WandaVision, so apologies if you haven't been watching. So let's get started then. What's been happening with you? What have you been watching? What have you been reading?
Yeah, I binge-watched Love Island, watched like 9 episodes in a day on like a snow day. It was very entertaining.
That's like 9 hours, right?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. No, yeah, it was like the whole day. Other than like walking my dog, like I did not get off the couch.
Yeah, well, it is the most bingeable show, to be honest.
It is. What have you been watching?
I like the way I like get through the week now is knowing that like Thursday is Riverdale, Friday is WandaVision, and I think Wednesday is Drag Race UK, but that might also be Thursday. So like those are how I track what day it is. I have been really enjoying Riverdale, I can't lie to you. I've never been ashamed of how much I enjoy that show. I don't know if you watch it, but the 7-year time jump is truly, it's been so jarring. And I think the reason it's been so weird is that we don't have Jughead's like narration at the start of each episode now. So it's like, I don't even feel like I'm watching the same show, but everyone's still hot. There's still as a drama. It's all well and good. And then Friday is, you know, finish work at 5:30, put WandaVision on and have my 2-day long emotional breakdown, which I'm sure we're all going through at the moment.
Picked you through the weekend. Yeah.
But like in other news, in the kind of media verse that is Star Wars and all of this pop culture stuff that we love, there's a couple of bits of news that we thought would be fun to chat about. The first one being that Daisy Ridley has said, you know, there's loads of rumors of her playing Spider-Woman. She says there's like no truth in it, but she would love to. What do you say to that?
It was the first that I had ever heard of, like, apparently this fan cast had been around a while, mm-hmm. I think. It was the first that I had ever seen the fan cast. I think I had reported on, like, Spider-Woman possibly being, like, becoming a movie, like, when I first started at Showbiz Cheat Sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, I, like, love the idea of a Spider-Woman movie or series. I think it might work better as a movie. I don't really know. But I love the idea of her coming into either the MCU or Sony. I don't really know if she's allowed to be in the MCU. I think she's one of those characters that can be within both properties, I think, but I'm not entirely sure. As far as Daisy Ridley in the role, I don't know if I see it and I don't know if I would want it, but I think it might be a role that was better suited from like an unknown. I think as we've talked before, I think it could be cool to see someone new in the role. And I don't really know if I see Daisy Ridley in that role. So yeah, I don't know if I would be up for it per se, but I'm definitely like, I'm not gonna like, what's the word? Knock it before you try it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like if it happens, it happens. Like, you know, good for her. Like that'd be cool. But I think hearing about it at first here, I was just like, oh, interesting. Like it's not, she's not the first person that I would think of to put in that role.
Another casting rumor that is going around, obviously Spider-Woman, the rumor's been put to bed, but she has said she's been interested. But an actual rumor from Castle Run Transmissions was our source, Mina Massoud, rumor to play Ezra Bridges, live action somehow. If you don't know who Mina Massoud is, he played Aladdin in the live action Aladdin, and he was charming as hell. I personally don't know anything really about Ezra Bridges. I have to get to Rebels, it's on my blind spot to-do list. But I think he's a sweetheart and I'm interested. What do you think?
Well, first off, I think you're on the right track because you're already watching Clone Wars. So I think like, you know, Star Wars wise, chronologically, like, you know, Clone Wars obviously leads into Rebels. But in terms of him being Ezra, I could definitely see it. And I really love, I think since, what is the actor's name? He was in Bly Manor.
Oh, Rahul Kohli.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There were rumors that he was cast as Ezra Bridger. I think he's a little old because Ezra Bridger is, I think, well, I mean, I guess it depends like what time period that they're going to show him live action. But like technically, I think he's like in his like 20s, maybe late 20s. And I think Rahul is like older. But I love the idea of like having like a person of color as Ezra Bridger. Also like in the animation, like Ezra Bridger, I don't like, he's not white. Like it doesn't, he doesn't seem like it. So I feel like we haven't seen him in anything since Aladdin, but I mean, he might have done some stuff. But so yeah, I think that'd be really, really cool. And I think that would be a good casting.
Yeah.
And I would love to see who they would cast then as Sabine. And it also makes me excited for like what we have to come, because then it's like, well, what is planned for a live action Ezra Bridgers?
Yeah, because they haven't said, like, they just said live action Ezra Bridgers. There was nothing about like live action Rebels, live action this. It was literally just the character. So it's like, where is he gonna turn up is the kind of like exciting kind of speculation of it.
I will say, I think the actor that plays Ezra Bridgers, like that voices him, his name is Taylor Gray. I believe he like tweeted, like he responded to, I don't know if it was Rosario Dawson or someone else, about showing like a live action, like showing up in the Ahsoka series.
Ooh, okay.
But like it was like, it was definitely very, it was like cryptic.
Yeah.
It was just like an emoji that he responded with.
Interesting. I really need to watch Rebels. Like, as soon as I'm done with Clone Wars, Rebels time. Okay, next piece of Star Wars news. Very exciting. We are getting a multiplayer Star Wars game on Nintendo Switch, iOS, and Android this year. So Star Wars Hunters got announced a few weeks ago, and it's set after the fall of the Galactic Empire. I'm reading from the thing now because it sounds sick. Star Wars Hunters will bring players together in thrilling team-based multiplayer battles, select from a diverse cast of new characters, including daring bounty hunters, heroes of the rebellion, and Imperial stormtroopers. Star Wars Hunters will be free to download, free, for the Nintendo Switch, App Store, and Google Play in 2021. Free? Dude, maybe it's going to be like a Fortnite situation where it's like free to play, but obviously you spend bare money on like skins and loot boxes and new characters and stuff. But like, I'm down for that. Got no idea what it's going to be like. There's no like real imagery yet. There's like a very short trailer, but yeah, I'm down for that. Free Star Wars video game.
A lot of fun. And I feel like that would be really accessible for people.
Oh yeah.
I definitely think it's going to be that type of situation where it's like, it's free, but then like there's a lot of add-ons. And yeah. So like obviously the more real money that you're able to put toward it, like the more of a like experience that you're going to have, but it does sound fun.
And next up on our list, we are whizzing through this bare news this month. Spider-Man 3 got a title. Finally, just about. They were like messing us about for a bit there, weren't they, with those fake ones, but
oh my god.
Spider-Man 3, not even Spider-Man 3, Spider-Man No Way Home, Christmas 2021. I'm excited, and let me just say, the multiverse could not be clearer now. Surely, like, my theory is that all the different titles were like kind of linking to the fact that different Spider-Man, different multiverses, like the film is called something else in each reality kind of vibe. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually wrote an article about that theory because there were a lot of people on Reddit because I was like online.
We shall share it on Heroes of the Galaxy, at Heroes of Galaxy. Tune in, read her article.
I was online when that dropped and I was like, let's go to Reddit. And like that was definitely a popular theory. And then that was before they dropped like the real title. And then people were like theorizing like the different colors, hinted at like the green, like Green Goblin, like all of this stuff. I really loved it. And like people were like looking at, what's it called? The like whiteboard that they showed in like the tiny teaser. And it was just like a lot of fun. And it was like really fun seeing like Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Jacob Batalon like together. And that, even though it was like a 10-second clip, like it was like fun seeing them together. No Way Home is like a really fun, funny. Actually, you know what? It doesn't evoke any type of emotion, but it's a really interesting title. But it's also like pretty bleak.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote in one of my articles, I was like that. My theory is like No Way Home basically is like me, like he'll probably get stuck in one of the universes and like can't find his way home or something like that, like one of the multiverses. And considering that WandaVision is based really closely on the House of M comics, and in those comics, in that universe that Wanda creates, or like dimension or reality, whatever you want to call it, Peter Parker, like in that reality, his identity is known, and he's like a celebrity basically. And all of this stuff, like, it's just really interesting because at the end of Far From Home, like, everyone knows Peter's identity.
Oh my god. And they think he murdered Mysterio. Like, the fake news, right. I know it's fake news, but that clip is incredibly convincing. So, yeah. One, they know who he is, and two, they think he's a straight-up murderer, and they've got legit footage of him killing somebody. So, yep. I just remembered that when you said it, and I was like, fucking hell, so, man, where can we go from here?
And it's, like, very interesting to see, because WandaVision, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange are definitely all going to be connected. Like, obviously, we have, like, all of these other titles coming out. Like, we have got Loki, Hawkeye, and then obviously we have Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming out in March, so soon. But then obviously before December, we have so many others coming out. But those three, in my head, the way I compartmentalize it, those three are, like, so closely combined.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the multiverse, it's, like, it's there. Like, we know it's there, and we can feel it, but it's, like, and we have all these little things, like, putting it together, but it's, like, it hasn't been technically, like actualized yet. Yeah. It's, like, come on, let's go. Like, give it to us, please. But, yeah. So the Spider-Man 3 news, even though it was so, so tiny, it was, like, really fun to see.
Yeah, it sparked a lot of discussion.
Yeah, it really fed us a little bit. Perhaps.
But in other places, such as Disney Plus, they are truly feeding us good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think we should just go into WandaVision now. Like, I'm so ready. I'm so, so ready to talk about it. But, like, to begin the discussion, I was reminded of the timeline of Phase 4 that they shared at Comic-Con last year, and how messed up it is now. So I'm really curious as to how they kind of fit it all back in, because so basically, looking back at the Phase 4 timeline we got in Comic-Con, which was literally like last August or something, I remember I covered it for Games Radar, and it didn't feel like that long ago at all. So it was going to go Black Widow, then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, then Eternals, oh, poor babies, then Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and then WandaVision. So the fact that we're getting WandaVision before, like, two films, three movies and a series, obviously the timeline, and not in terms of timing, but, like, in terms of how Phase 4 is going to go, is, like, severely disrupted. So I'm really, really curious as to, like, how that's going to all slot back in together. So after WandaVision on the timeline, it was going to be Doctor Strange, but I'm guessing that we're still not going to get Doctor Strange until we've had the three movies that were supposed to come before that, unless they're just, like, rejigging everything. What do you think?
Yeah, I have no idea. Well, I think that the way that it is now, like, Doctor Strange it was pushed to 2022, but, like, I don't even think... Well, actually, I don't want to say before I know, but, like, I don't think Eternals has a release date.
It was supposed to be November last year, can you believe it? How mad is that we would have had an entire new superhero group right now if it weren't for COVID? And, like, Shang-Chi and everything. Like, I actually can't get my head around the fact that we all these movies we would have had if it weren't for the pandemic. Like, that's wild.
It's wild. Okay, it looks like it's set to release November 2021. I don't think it's going to come out then.
Wait, which one? Eternals?
Eternals, because that's so weird. Okay, because we technically have a teaser. Like, we have a teaser for and a name for Spider-Man, which I guess Eternals is its name, so it doesn't need that.
Yeah.
But there's been no, like, promo for Eternals.
No noise at all.
No noise, no, like, other than, like, the casting drops, I guess, at Comic-Con when they first released it, and, like, since then, if there have been updates, but, like, yeah, there's been no noise about Eternals, and, Spider-Man's coming out in December for sure. And it looks like they're pretty, like, steadfast on that. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like they're pretty, like, dead set on Christmas 2021, and it's only in theaters. So, like, no Disney Plus, no streaming option at all, no renting. It's only theaters for Spider-Man. So that makes me think, or theorize, that Eternals, I don't know if they're going to stick with their November 2021 release. Mm. Because, like, there's been no noise. Why would it come out before Spider-Man?
Watch them drop, like, a whole last 2.5 minute trailer, like, next week.
I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Like, I feel like, if they start, like, promoting it within the next couple months, it's possible. But I just don't know why they would, I don't know. It's possible. Anything is possible. And I feel like with an MCU film, they could. But for some reason, I just am getting the Inhumans vibes from Eternals. Mm. I hate to say it, but that's what I'm getting.
Well, I did, cheeky plug, I did a Everything We Know About Eternals article for Games Radar, which, even though I've left, gets updated constantly with new info. And there's so much potential in there. So we, like, included interviews with the cast about who the characters are and how they could tie in to kind of the events post-Endgame, you know, like, why the Eternals didn't help out with Thanos, considering they've been here the whole time. There's so much potential there. And also, like, Brian Tyree Henry's in it, and he's, like, a badass professor who gets a husband and a kid. And it just, like, seems so iconic, and I really want it to be fantastic, and I have a feeling it will be. But I really hope it gets the release it deserves, that's for certain.
Yeah. It also makes me a bit nervous about, like, the slated summer release for Black Widow. Mm. It's just, like, I would love to see Black Widow in theaters, but if they're going to go the route of Spider-Man, of, like, only theaters, then Black Widow's going to get pushed again, because I don't think that they are going to be able to do an only theater release by the summertime. I just don't think that's possible.
I feel like
it's going to be a Tenet, and it's not going to do well. And then you're going to get Black Widow not doing well, or people not being able to go see Black Widow and, like, get the run that it deserves.
I got to say, this is probably really controversial, but I feel like I'm kind of past it now. Like, I don't really care about it anymore.
No, that's totally valid. And I feel, honestly, I feel somewhat similar. Mm. And to be also really honest, the only reason I want to see it is because of Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
I don't like Scarlett Johansson, and I don't really care for Black Widow as a character. I feel like, but I also feel like with the right writing, and I feel like with the right direction and the right story, you could make me care about her. Mm. Just the way that WandaVision made me care about Wanda and Vision. So it's possible, but, like, the only reason, like, I want to see it is because I want to see Florence Pugh in her role of Yelena, and because I know that Yelena, or at least the role that Florence Pugh is playing, is going to continue on in the MCU.
Okay, so WandaVision, by the time this episode comes out, which is next weekend, so we edit them like a week before, we will have seen the finale. So we are recording this with one episode left to go. And boy, oh boy, am I not ready?
Oh my gosh. I can't even think about where my emotional state's going to be by next
Saturday. Yeah, I think I'll be too emotional to even, like, press publish on the podcast. I'm going to be
the podcast was late. It's because Millicent is under her covers.
It's because Millicent needs, like, 5 to 7 business days to recover. But I know that it's going to be a cliffhanger, and I know that that's fine, and that's the way it's going to be. But I just don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for it, because we've seen, like, you know, the little promos here and there, and it looks like there's going to be big fights, and I just want Wanda to be okay. She's been through so much.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a cliffhanger, and, like, I've seen a lot of discourse online.
Oh no. What's the discourse? I think I've missed it.
Well, There's been a lot of within the critical aspect of WandaVision. There's been a bunch of different criticism of the show. Some of it I can see, and some of it I don't. And one of the things that I don't really agree with is people are they don't like that this is kind of a stepping stone to the next movie. And it's I don't know, that's what this has always been. Was always pegged, I thought, as a limited series. I didn't think this was gonna get a season two. She can't keep having mental breakdowns and creating realities that are TV shows. That's not the point. That wasn't the point of this series. It's a limited series for a reason. Yeah, there's no point in doing a season two. And the whole point of this is to get into the story that leads her into being in Doctor Strange, whether that's as an antagonist, as Doctor Strange's apprentice, as whatever she's going to be. So that's the whole point of this. And that's how the MCU is doing it. Is that the future of TV? No, that's the future of this show. That's how I see it. And you don't have to like it. And it's totally understandable if you don't like that structure. But that's how this was always pegged. I don't know. I just think that, I don't know. That rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. I was guys, that's what this has been. That's what this is. WandaVision is her show. It's this show, but it's her show. She can't keep doing this for seasons on end. So, I think it's definitely going to end on a cliffhanger, and that's because it's leading into wherever we're going, and that's going to be upsetting, because then it's then we get Falcon the Winter Soldier, which is definitely not going to answer this cliffhanger. So we're going to be left with, what the heck? Where are my answers? And we're not going to get them until next year, probably.
Oh my god, I actually can't bear it.
Yeah.
But so what did we think of the last episode then, which kind of tied up a few loose ends, but what's the word for it? I don't know, filled in a lot of the gaps and answered a lot of questions, let's say. How did you feel about it? So we know who Agatha Harkness is now. We got a bit of her backstory. And then we went with Wanda through some pivotal moments that kind of contributed to where she is now and her emotional state.
I loved it. And I'm a sucker for flashbacks. And especially the fact that it's a whole episode of flashbacks. It's so good. And even though it's events that we've seen the other other facets of, I just loved seeing different sides of it. And they did it in a way where you haven't seen any of this, but you know what I mean? You know what happened, but you haven't seen any of this info before. But I also really liked how they incorporated parts of her comic book backstory, where she was born a witch, she's always been a witch, she's always had powers, and you didn't know that, and she didn't know that, but Agatha did, and she's trying to, get to that, that truth, that's why she's just you're the Scarlet Witch, because, in the comics, her mother was a Scarlet Witch, and, yada, all that stuff, but, so yeah, it's really cool to go back and see that's why she survived that missile. That's why she didn't, her and Pietro were the only two that survived. All of this stuff, and it just makes things click. And while also emotionally tearing you apart, because then it really you were already invested in her and Vision. And you were already emotionally God, I love these two. The series had already done that really well. But then this one really just kicked you while you were down.
Oh, yeah.
And they were you love them? You love them? Okay, here's some salt in that wound. And here's me kicking dirt in your eye. So yeah, and I really loved the whole, when he gave her that deed that says to grow old in.
Oh, stop, please, no. And God, that scene.
Someone pointed out, when they're just sitting there watching what is the show they're watching?
Was it Modern Family? No. Yeah, I think it was Modern Family, right, with Bryan Cranston? But I've never seen Modern Family, so I could literally be making that up. But Bryan Cranston was there.
Yeah, I think it's like the middle or something. I don't know, but they're watching that show and he's like, he like laughs and he's like, haha, oh, but it's funny, right? Like, it's, I'm laughing because it's funny. And she's like, no, yeah, it was funny. Like, ah, it's so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And I love him so much. It just killed me. It killed me. No, I was saying, what did you love about it?
Everything. I know I saw some criticisms, and they're super valid, I think, that it was kind of just pinpointing a couple of moments in her life and saying that, like, this is what, like, I think someone said grief and trauma, like, distilling it into, like, oh, three specific things that happened to her isn't kind of encompassing, like, how it affects people over time, but I don't think that's what they were trying to do here at all. I think it was just kind of like filling in some gaps for us in terms of her character arc and stuff, and I think they did it, they handled it really well. I think seeing her in the Hydra facility was really interesting and filled in a lot of gaps, and like what she saw when she broke them, when she interacted with the Tesseract or the Space Stone, which I thought was really interesting because like the Space Stone sort of turned into the Mind Stone in some ways. I'm not quite sure what happened there. The Mind Stone?
The Mind Stone was in the Scepter.
Why did I think, oh, because it was blue this whole time. I thought it was the Space
Stone. Yeah, it was, the Scepter was blue, but then when they opened it up, it's like the Stone. Yeah, it was like weird. I think throughout like the first few movies, I always thought it was the Tesseract, but then recently, it became more clear because, like, that's what's powering Vision.
Yeah.
And that's the Mind Stone.
Okay, yeah. So the Mind Stone, I think, so there's a lot of talk about, like, what it showed her. Was it, like, showing her her future, showing her her past? And I think it was just showing, like, what she is. I don't think that like, that specific image or costuming or whatever is in her future, but she probably will get a fancy new costume. But I felt like it was very much just showing her who she is, like a manifestation of the whole Scarlet Witch mythological thing, which is really new and exciting for me. I never saw it that way. And this whole time I thought, Wanda and Pietro, they got their powers through the experiments at Hydra, but the idea that they maybe had them kind of already, but were amplified or were dormant, and that whole I like how Agatha said they amplified what might have died on the vine, which felt really mutant-y, this whole thing, like, so obviously with X-Men, when you hit puberty is when your powers kick in, but if we're saying that X-Men and mutants don't exist just yet, the idea that every kid is a little bit, I don't know, magic, but then it just dies as we grow up. I've always loved that in stories in general, just that, like, when we grow up, we kind of forget how magic everything is, and that's really deep or whatever. But the fact that they may have had powers this whole time, and she may have been the reason that Stark Industries bond didn't go off, is really exciting to me. And also, after, I don't know, I've just literally tweeted this today, but I don't know if you saw when she confronts Agatha again at the end, and she's got the boys in, like, trapped or whatever, after she's confronted all her trauma and her past and everything, her powers be looking extra juicy. Like, they look deeper, more full, more bright red, like, just different. And I'm like, I think this whole experience with Agatha just now has genuinely changed her. And shit's about to go down.
It's like there was some type of, like, blockage. Yeah. And I think it was, like, on TikTok that I saw someone talking about, like, on TikTok, you could get some really good theories, and then you can get some really, like, theories that you're like, okay, go outside. But someone was talking about, like, shadow work or whatever, and that's, like, possibly what Agatha was doing, and...
What's that?
I think that, like, you know, don't quote me, I guess, per se, but, like, basically taking her through her past and her trauma as a way to, like, not necessarily amplify them, but, like, kind of just, like, make Wanda do the work for herself to, like, build on, like, build her own power, so, like, that, so, like, you saying, like, be, like, extra juicy, like, could be a thing, but it's, like, because Wanda did the work herself, because, like, I don't think that Agatha is evil. Like, I don't think that she is, because in the comics she's not, and, like, I don't want her to be. But I think that she's just like a hard ass. Like, I think she's like the most aggressive therapist that you could have.
Yeah.
I think that she was just like working through Wanda's trauma, Wanda's like issues, Wanda's past, in this way to get her to see her like sorcery past or whatever, to see that she is the Scarlet Witch, to see that she is this like beholder, like whatever, of chaos magic, this like myth or whatever, and yeah, and like work through that, and like we'll see. But because like in the beginning you see that like Agatha wants to learn all that she can about magic and was like told not to. And so I think that like she sensed Wanda's like hex, like her reality that she created in Westview, and like wants to learn about it, or wants to, you know, like observe Wanda, maybe like teach Wanda about herself, because obviously Wanda knows nothing about witchcraft, sorcery, nothing, magic, because she didn't grow up with that, like whatever, but like obviously she is of that element, of that world, but she knows nothing of it, she knows nothing of her past. So like I think like Agatha's gonna teach her a thing or two, but then also she'll like learn about Wanda and like learn stuff from Wanda maybe. So I think that's why Agatha was like, these are runes, like your magic doesn't work here, and like she seemed maybe like surprised or like whatever that like Wanda had no idea what runes were. She was just like, of course these are protection spells, like whatever. But like I don't know, I'm hoping that I'm right, because I don't want Agatha to be evil.
My mom afterwards was like, so is Agatha a superhero? And I was like, she was like, so how does she have like magic and stuff in a world where superheroes exist, and like how does all that like Salem and everything kind of intertwine? And when I thought about it, I was like, well, Doctor Strange wasn't a guy with magic or superheroes until he like put in the work and like, you know, trained and read all the books and stuff. And I'm like, maybe it is like, you know, Agatha said this whole thing that died on the vine when you're older, like if you start to actually put in the work you can have these abilities in some way. Because I was trying to like rationalize how there's witches and warlocks and wizards and probably dotted about in a world where superheroes with like legit mutations and powers and stuff, and I don't know, I kind of corroborated that all in one world. But yeah, I'm really excited.
So like Agatha's book looks very similar to Doctor Strange's books. So also, it could all be related, it could all be different, but it could be a similar concept.
Yeah. That one on the desk that was glowing and the missing book from the library in Doctor Strange, people are thinking that that's the one Agatha has, which could be a really cool link if it's the case. And just moving on a bit from the magic, I guess, well, not really, but so Wanda is so powerful that she made a whole ass Infinity Stone, right? Like she rebuilt Vision with a new Mind Stone, or am I going mad? Because that's what it looked like to me, and I would not put it past her.
Yeah, okay, so it's so weird, because so when she created everything in the Hex, and when she had her very, like, dramatic moment where she's, like, all of the magic emanating from her that's creating all of Westview is red. But when she's creating Vision, it's yellow, like the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
And then the thing that's powering Vision is obviously yellow, like the Mind Stone. So I wouldn't put it, and he has autonomy, and she is weirded out that he has autonomy, like when he starts showing that. And obviously he tries to leave and he tries to help people and figure out this mystery. And she's weirded out by that. So, like, I'm thinking, and, like, also, obviously, you are too, that, like, she did create something of the sort. Like, whether she created another Infinity Stone or something like that, or she just created another being. Because, obviously, Billy and Tommy also have autonomy. Because, like, she created those two humans, obviously. But like they were asking questions she didn't want them to, and they were aging up when she didn't want them to, and like running around when she didn't want them to. So like she can't really control them either.
Yeah.
But she can like, and like there was a theory that she can't control children, but like she can, which we saw with the Halloween episode, she just can't control her children. So like, but they don't have Infinity Stones that we know of. But with Vision specifically, he's yellow, and it's very interesting that color, as we've seen, like, there seems to be a very distinct color wheel with these powers. Like, Agatha's are purple, hers are red, so it was like very distinct that everything went into creating him was yellow. So it'd be really interesting if it's like she can create Infinity Stones, and then it's like, well, shit. Like,
oh my god. Don't
know Thanos.
Yeah. So, what do we think is going to happen? Obviously, if you're listening to this, the finale is out, so please enjoy laughing at our probably very wrong predictions. But what do we think is going to happen in the final episode?
I really loved all of the Mephisto theories. I don't think he's actually going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I loved reading them. I thought they were very entertaining and very, what's the word? Convincing. And I've written a couple about them too, because they had a lot of, like, what's the word? Receipts to back them up. I like the theory that, like, the real villain is Nightmare. Because I feel like there are also some receipts that it's Nightmare. He was also supposed to be the original villain in Doctor Strange, and they were going to gender bend Nightmare and like have it be played by Eva Green. And so there are still some people that think that Mephisto's still the big bad and that Al Pacino's going to play him. And then that's like...
Al Pacino? In the MCU?
Yeah, because, like, apparently he's met with Kevin Feige before about being in the MCU.
Well, then.
And he's played the devil before, and Paul Bettany talked about wanting to work with him before, and Paul Bettany's been, what's the word, hinting at, like, someone cameo, being, like, having a cameo on WandaVision that he's been dying to work with forever, and people think it's Al Pacino. So, who knows? I think that there is some big bad outside of Agatha. Like, I don't think Agatha's evil. I think someone else is pulling strings. I don't know what that means necessarily. Like, I don't know what that pertains to. I don't know, I don't know the extent to what that means. Like, obviously we know that the whole hex is Wanda. We know that Wanda is behind it all. We know that Wanda didn't necessarily go in there with, like, malicious intentions. She apparently, it seems like it was, like, on a whim, obviously. It doesn't seem like she has a memory of it. Obviously, she, like, suppressed it. So, like, all of these things were answered that, like, a lot of people were theorizing on. So I feel like really now it's, like, who is the big bad? Is there a big bad? But, like, also, like, we really don't know what's going to happen. And, like, obviously White Vision is going to break her heart a little bit because it's obviously Vision's body, but he is devoid of all emotion and is incapable of love and feeling.
That's going to be the most depressing thing ever when either he tries to kill Wanda or he does kill the real Vision. Just her having to fight off Vision in any form and maybe potentially kill him again, even if it's not him and just his kind of, like, identical form or something, it's going to be so hard to watch. And, like, for her as well. Bloody hell.
It's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hasn't she gone through enough?
Honestly.
hasn't she had enough? I'm, like, already, like, starting, like, after, like, episode, like, 4 or 5, it's like, god damn it. Let her have something.
It's like that meme. It's like, name a character who's been through more. We'll wait.
And it's like no one. And it's like, god damn it. Like, I just want her to, like, have a little bit of sunshine. Like who knows if she'll even be able to, like, have her kids after this. Mm-hmm. Like, because in the comics, she doesn't. Like, they only come back later. Like, I'm sad. already, and it's not even Friday.
I don't know how I'm going to get through. I really don't. But I will say, I think Doctor Strange is going to turn up. I do.
I think so too.
Like, literally, in this last episode. I mean, I don't know how. Even if it's just an end credits thing, I feel like he's going to show up and just be like, right, I'll get them up.
I do too. But I will say that, like, Elizabeth Olsen had, like, what's the word? She had hinted at, like, a big cameo happening. And, like, the person who interviewed her was just like, oh, is it going to be, like, Luke Skywalker level from Mandalorian? And she was like, yes. And it's like, if it's Doctor Strange, I would not put that on the same level as...
Everyone
like,
thought that was Evan Peters, though, right? That's, like, been and gone. Like, an X-Men character turning up in an MCU thing was pretty big. I mean, I think it was kind of soured because we all started to predict it. But if we had no idea, I feel like that's pretty huge in itself. And then Paul Bettany made that whole thing about it's an actor he's always wanted to work with his whole life and it's really going to blow our minds. And I genuinely think that was himself as White Vision.
Honestly, that'd be hilarious. Way in a second.
You know, way he says, like, there is a new character. He said it's a new character we've never seen before. We've never seen White Vision before. And it's someone he's always wanted to work with but never had the opportunity himself.
That'd be hilarious. Right? Wait, he's never worked with himself. Mr. Bettany, I've been got. Thank you.
But otherwise, you know, it could be like you say, like Nightmare, Mephisto, like because it has to be a new character if it's going by what Paul said.
Right. Also, I do believe that he's worked, like he's been on set with Benedict Cumberbatch. So like that wouldn't be him.
Mm-hmm. I don't think. And also, you know, Doctor Strange isn't new to us at least. So I don't think that would apply.
Yeah, right. So I don't know, but so like I do think it would make sense for Doctor Strange to show up, but I don't think he's the one that they've been like hinting at. If they're not even trolling, it's possible that they could just be trolling us because who knows, whatever. But do you think that Evan Peters Quicksilver is the X-Men Quicksilver?
Oh yeah, okay, so my thing here is obviously Agatha said I couldn't get your brother because he's in the ground with holes in his body. So I just got like the next best thing or whatever. And I think I don't know if she knows that she did this, but I think she, you know, plucked him out of an alternate reality or like his image, at least like Pietro from the multiverse and just like puppeteered him. I don't think it's like the actual person, but maybe she is puppeteering something in the image of him. Because obviously she's speaking through him and moving his body or whatever, unless she brought him from the X-Men reality and then is just kind of like possessing him, controlling his mind the same way Wanda's doing. So if Vision snapped him out of it, maybe he'd be like, damn, where's Charles? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my theory. What do you think?
I think that's what happened too. Like, I think that he is the Peter Maximoff Quicksilver from, either like that specific universe or like just a different universe well. And obviously when we saw like in the Agatha All Along clip of her controlling him, that's not her like creating him. That's just that was just her like giving him those memories or whatever. But like, I think his body is actually from like when we saw Monica open up the cellar doors and we saw him in, like, that beanie or whatever. Like, that's, I think, like, the actual Quicksilver. And I think that again, will segue into the multiverse. Like, that is, again, right there. Like, we're touching it. It's right there. But, like, it hasn't actually been. Right. Like we're all talking about the multiverse. And it's like, we know it's there, guys. Like, we know it's there. Like, it's right there for us. Like, but we just don't know how to get there yet. We don't know how to do it yet. And I think, again, that's, like, another way they're going to weave it in somehow. And somehow Agatha, either she has access to it or, like, Wanda, because, like, Wanda's a Nexus being in the comics. So somehow maybe she subconsciously brought him through as well. Like, I don't know, but...
I just can't wait to find out. Like, this is so much fun. I've so enjoyed having it, like, every week and then getting to, like, chat to my friends about what we think is going to happen and what we think is happening and then getting a new one. And the kids are missing out, man. This is how it was back in the day. Like, every Saturday night in front of the TV for that new, like, Doctor Who or whatever. bingeable shows, like, it's really interesting how we come full circle, because I hear that Netflix is testing out, like, channels in certain countries, like, just having a Netflix channel on, so you don't have to pick what you watch, and I'm like, we're really just going back to TV, aren't we? Like,
right, which is also just, like, so much for cutting the cord, like, LOL.
This is about something bigger than just surviving.
Do you have great taste in movies and pop culture? Of course you do. You're listening to this podcast. Our friends at Superyaki also have great taste and make lovely merchandise to show it off to the world. Want to commemorate that time you watched Stanley make a Negroni? They have merch for that. Want to celebrate the cinematic masterpiece that is The Mummy? They have merch for that. Whatever you fancy, you can get 10% off your next order with our exclusive code CANTINAFRIENDS. That's CANTINAFRIENDS in all caps. Thank you so much to Superyaki for their constant support. Thank you for tuning in to Heroes of Galaxy. We really appreciate you guys listening in. You can follow us on Twitter at Heroes of Galaxy. You can also follow us on Instagram as well, and look at our link tree to find all the places where you can support us and listen to us as well. And you can support us on Patreon. And thank you to all our patrons: Eamon, James, Stephen, Kelsey, Chris, Sean, Larry, Adam, and Anna.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for tuning in again. I've been your host, Alani.
I've been your host, Millicent.
Bye.
Bye.
This is about something bigger than just surviving.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.